This morning, please take your Bible and open to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6, verse number 14. This is the same text that I used last week. This is a two-part message. Part one was last week, part two is today. We're talking about the topic of biblical separation. Biblical separation. The passage that I read was 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. And I'm going to read that same passage this morning. Now, as you go along this morning, you're going to hear some other verses. And each one of these verses that we're going to look at mentions something about you and I as a believer living a life that's holy and pure and set apart from the rest of the world. Because we're trying to honor the Lord in our life. We're trying to please Him. We want to live a life that honors Him and pleases Him. And that's really what biblical separation is all about. It doesn't have anything to do with I'm better than other people, or I'm holier than other people, or I'm, you know, high and lifted up and can look down my nose at other people. It has nothing at all to do with that. In fact, I believe this with all my heart, and I'm pretty sure most of you do too, that those of us who are saved and are honest about who we are recognize that, well, kind of like Paul said, all right, that God saves sinners, and then he said this, of whom I am chief. Paul thought of himself as the chief of sinners. And I think that most all of us today who know the Lord as our Savior, we don't see ourselves as better than anybody else, or high and mighty, or high and lifted up, or looking down our nose at anyone else, or trying to make ourselves, you know, better than someone else, or make them feel worse than us, or whatever. We realize how wicked we are. We realize how sinful we are. We realize how much we come up short constantly. But we also know that we want to live a life as best we can to please the Lord and honor Him, so that He can look down at us from heaven and say, you know what, that's my boy. Or that's my girl, and I'm really proud of them. I really appreciate how they're living for me. We want to hear that, don't we? The attaboy or the attagirl, that's what we want. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the biblical way of saying it. The attaboy or the attagirl. But we want the Lord to be pleased with us, and that's why biblical separation is an important topic to talk about now and then. So I started last week and gave you some thoughts, and we're going to continue our message this morning, and we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want you to see verse 1 of chapter 7 says, having therefore these promises. What promises? Well, I think that harkens back to the last verse or two of chapter 6. Because you remember in the original writing, there's no chapter or verse divisions. It's just a continuous thought. And God is promising here that He'll receive us, that He'll be a father unto us, that we'll be His sons and daughters. And so in verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, having therefore these promises. What promises? Well, what He just told us. Having those promises. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now look at this. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know what? That's a lifelong struggle. I've been saved now 53 years. 53 years. I'm still working on it. How about you? It's a lifelong struggle. Again, I'm referring to the Apostle Paul when he mentioned that he had not yet attained. He'd not reached that limit that God wanted him to reach. He was still working at it, and that's true for all of us. As a Christian, we know we're supposed to live a holy life. We know we're supposed to live a life that somehow reflects the nature of God, the one who saved us. We know we're supposed to be separate from the world and the wickedness in the world and the evil that's in the world. We know that our actions and our attitudes and our appetites are all supposed to reflect godliness and holiness and morality and decency. We know that people are watching us. We know that God is watching us. That's why, again, this topic is very important to talk about every now and then. So we are talking about it last week and this week. Last week we looked at the passage that I just read and I tried to show you some things. Today I'm going to show you some other passages and talk about some other passages. And I'm going to give you, let's see, there's actually seven thoughts here, so I better get started. Seven thoughts that I want to give you. These are things, by the way, if you want to live a holy life, if you want to live a life of biblical separation, if you want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, these are seven things that you should avoid. These are seven things that you should avoid. Number one, they are not in any order of importance, okay? But just for all of us to consider, number one, avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity. Avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity. A passage I think that most all of us are familiar with is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, which says this. You don't have to turn, but just listen. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice we're bought with a price. That price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We should avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity. Some of those things have to do with our actions. Some of those things have to do with our attitudes. Most of the time, our actions are a result of our attitudes. Most every action that we perform begins with a thought or an attitude, and it works its way out of our body into our actions. And if we're going to avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity, it means that we have to keep those attitudes and thoughts and actions, we got to keep them under control. We don't get to do everything we want to do because it would violate the Bible standard of purity. So we, like the Apostle Paul said in another place in his writings, it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, he mentions the fact that he keeps under his body. In other words, he keeps it under control. He tries his best to regulate what he does with his body. Why? Because he knew this principle. He's the one that God used to give us this principle. Number one, avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity. If I'm going to live a life of biblical separation, a life that honors God and pleases God, number two, I must also avoid things that violate the clear teaching of the Bible. The clear teaching of the Bible. You know, a good place to start. Please notice what I said. A good place to start. This is not all in all. Some people have gone to seed on this. But a good place to start as far as the good moral teachings of the Bible, a good place to start is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. You know, you're familiar with them, I'm sure. Let me just turn back here and find it for us and just read a couple of verses. Again, you just, if you would, just listen if you can and hear what the Bible has to say. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. That's the Ten Commandments. It's listed in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. I like the way Jesus summed it up in the New Testament. It's a lot easier to remember. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. That's what Jesus said. If you don't want to violate the clear teachings of the Bible, a great place to start is the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments won't save us, but they are a basic guideline for how to live a life that pleases God. They're given to us as basic guidelines for life. The first four deal with our relationship with God. The last six deal with our relationship with our fellow man. Hence, that's the reason why Jesus summed it all up: loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then number two, loving your neighbor as yourself. If you want to live a life of biblical separation, a life that pleases God and honors him, number one, avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity. And number two, avoid things that violate the clear teachings of the Bible. Number three, avoid associations that will harm you. Avoid associations that will harm you. That is mentioned, by the way, in our text this morning. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Avoid associations that will harm you. When I was in the Army, I got saved, first of all, in January of 73. I joined the Army in October of the same year. I don't mind telling you this. When I was near my father, he kept me in church. I'm talking about after I got saved, even. We started going to this Baptist church in Oshkosh, which we know as Wildwood Baptist Church today. But we started going there, and he made sure that I got there and so forth. And then when I joined the Army, I don't mind telling you, I got away from the Lord. And I wasn't living a good Christian life, and I wasn't a good testimony. And Sarah's here to vouch for this. When we met, she couldn't tell that I was a Christian. Isn't that true? It was my mom had to spill the beans on me. She told my wife that I was a Christian. Way to go, Mom. But because of the way I was living, I was doing a good job hiding it. And I was going to places I shouldn't go, and I was spending time with people I shouldn't spend time with, and, you know, friends in the military and stuff, and we were doing things that nobody should be doing, you know. And then, of course, my folks came down to visit at Fort Hood, Texas. They came down to visit us. Sarah and I are married at this time, and they came down to visit us. And my dad shared with us, my wife and I shared with us a passage from John chapter 15, where Jesus said that his Father is the husbandman. He's the vine, and his Father is the husbandman. And he said, ye are the branches. And in that passage, and it says that if the branches don't bear fruit, he purges those branches that they might bear, you know, more fruit. But if they don't bear any fruit at all, he cuts them off, you know, tosses them aside. I'm putting all that in my own words, of course. You can read it for yourself. John 15, verses 1 to 3. But that passage that night really smote my heart. Because here I was claiming to be a Christian, but not really bearing any fruit for the Lord. And that's the night that Sarah and I got down at our bedside, and I told the Lord that I was sorry and asked his forgiveness, and I would live for him from that day forward. And I have kept that promise, thankfully, with his help. I have kept that promise. We got involved in church, and you know that several weeks ago we went down to preach the 50th anniversary services of the church that we were a part of and helped get started and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm telling you this because before I got right with God, there was a friend of mine who was in the same unit that I was, who lived just across the driveway. We were in one part of a duplex across the driveway in another duplex. He was in another part of a duplex. We were just a driveway apart. And we used to do some of these bad things together. And when I got my heart right with God, he came and wanted to be doing some of those same things that we used to do. I told him, I said, I'm not going to do those things anymore. And I mean this sincerely. I made up my mind. I was going to live for God. I was going to do what was right. Sarah, you remember this. I was going to do what's right. And he was after me and after me and after me. And I, thankfully, with God's help, I never did give in. Eventually, of course, he got out of the military. I got out of the military. I don't know what happened to him and his wife, but I know that I went off to Bible college and prepared for ministry. And I've been in the ministry now for a long time. But it all comes back to that one decision to avoid associations that will harm you. My association with this neighbor was bad for me. He kept dragging me back, or tried to drag me back into behaviors and lifestyle that I shouldn't be doing. Some associations will only harm you. So choose associations that will help you and avoid the ones that will harm you. Number one, avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity. Number two, avoid things that violate the clear teaching of the Bible. Number three, avoid associations that will harm you. Now, before I leave that thought, let me just say this. I don't think you need somebody to tell you who those people are. I think deep inside you know who they are. And it's because they influence you in the wrong direction. And so what does God say in his word? Avoid that. Don't put yourself in that place. Spend time with people that will help you and encourage you to live for God and do what's right. Number four in my list, avoid things that are harmful to the body. Avoid things that are harmful to the body. Did you notice in some of these verses that we read that God said that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? In fact, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Avoid things that are harmful to the body. Pastor, where in the Bible does it say you shouldn't smoke? The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke. You can search it from cover to cover. I've been through the Bible numerous times. It's not in there. But the principle is, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I used to smoke. But I found out after I got right with God, I couldn't smoke a cigarette and read my Bible at the same time. I know you remember this, Sarah. I could, I couldn't do it. By the way, that was one of the hardest things for me to give up, was smoking cigarettes. I'm really thankful I got the victory last Tuesday. I'm really thankful for that. Please notice I'm smiling. I'm just teasing you. 1975, thank God. Thank God, 1975. Back when they were cheap. Amen? They're not cheap today, I'll tell you that for sure. But back in 1975 is when I got the victory. And it really stemmed back to that visit that my mom and dad, you know, came down to visit us, and God smote my heart and all that kind of stuff. That's where it all stems back to. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that left my life after that meeting, I promise. But things that are harmful to the body, like, you know, cigarettes and tobacco and alcohol and drugs, and you know, please don't get upset with me, but we need to take care of this body that we have. You only get one. Now, you can get other parts added to it, but you only get one body. Okay? Most all of you know that, you know, a year ago in November, I had a heart attack. And, of course, after the heart attack, they encouraged me to eat right and exercise and all that kind of stuff. And it's been a little over a year now, and I've done pretty well. Again, my wife's here to verify this. I've done pretty well. I can't say that I've been perfect. By the way, I still like pizza. I still like ice cream. I have very little of it, but I still like it. I still like a good barbecue. Barbecue brisket, oh, smothered in sauce. Anyway, don't get me hungry. I like, you know, eating. I like eating. I'm not nuts about eating that heart-healthy diet, if I'm honest. I'm not nuts about it. I think you can see it's been a little over a year now. I haven't gone hungry, you know, really. But God helped me during that last year or so, a little year plus, to lose 33 pounds. And we still exercise on a regular basis and trying to take better care of myself. Is it important? I think it's important. You only get one body. I have to be honest with you. I wish I would have been doing some of this a long time ago. Seriously. I don't want to belabor that. I just, you know, things that are harmful to the body. The body has been given to us by God. If you're a Christian, it is His temple. We're all going to have to answer to Him for how we've used this body. Did we take care of it? Did we use it properly? Did we use it to glorify Him? Did we try to keep in mind that it is His temple? Did we try to keep in mind that it is His temple? Apparently it is important how we use it. If we're going to live a life that honors the Lord, if we're going to live a life that shows and demonstrates to the world around us biblical separation, if we're going to live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, then we have to learn to avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity, avoid things that violate the clear teaching of the Bible, avoid associations that will harm us, and avoid things that are harmful to the body. Number five in my list. Avoid things that are harmful to a weaker brother. Avoid things that are harmful to a weaker brother. I'm going to use the example of smoking again. I haven't smoked a cigarette since 1975. I'm very, very thankful for that. I'm pretty sure that if I tried to do it right now, I'd probably choke to death. Because if you remember back, if any of you ever smoked, you remember when you first did it, I mean, you just about died, turned all shades of green and so forth like that. It's funny how your body gets used to it after a while. And then it's really hard to get rid of. But I'm pretty sure that if I smoked a cigarette today, I'd probably choke to death. And here's my point. This is why I bring this up. Could I start smoking again and still go to heaven? Yes. Yes. Because once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you have it, you have it. God doesn't take it away from you. I was going to say, God don't take it away from you. God doesn't take it away from you. It's like somebody said, I've repeated it numerous times through the years. You can smoke and still go to heaven. You might smell like you've been to hell, but you can smoke and still go to heaven. You can. But is that harmful to your body? And number two, is it harmful to a weaker brother? Somebody who may not be as strong spiritually as you are. I can use all kinds of illustrations here. Can I go into a bar in town that serves the best burgers in town? I'm not going in there to drink any alcohol. I'm just going in there for the burgers. Can I go in there on a regular basis and get a burger? I mean, after all, it's the best burger in town. Can I go in there and do that and it be okay and still go to heaven? Sure. But could that be harmful to a weaker brother? Yes. Because there, they see Pastor Weiss going into, you know, what is that place down by the tracks? Whatever. I mean, right? Isn't there another one down there that's got kind of a silly name? Is it gone or something? Oh, never mind. Okay, I get your point. I'll never mind. Could a person do that and still go to heaven? Yes. But wouldn't it be a bad testimony? Let's say somebody who's brand new Christian and sees Pastor Weiss going in there and he's got Lowell with him and Jerry. And, you know, they're the ones that influenced me to go there for the burger. I didn't even know they served great burgers. They were the ones that, anyway, that's trying to have some fun with you. Don't get angry now, okay? But wouldn't that be a bad testimony to a weaker brother? Because they don't know that I'm going in there just for the burger. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. A weaker brother is any Christian who's being persuaded to do something wrong based on your poor example. Everyone's life influences many other people. Sometimes you're influencing people and you don't even know it. All of us need to consider other brothers and sisters in Christ. And is my lifestyle being a harmful thing to another Christian? So if I'm going to live a life of biblical separation, a life that honors God and pleases God, number one, avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity. Number two, avoid things that violate the clear teaching of the Bible. Number three, avoid associations that will harm you. Number four, avoid things that are harmful to the body. Number five, avoid things that are harmful to a weaker brother. Number six in my list, avoid things that are offensive to the conscience. Avoid things that are offensive to the conscience. I hope you're thankful for your conscience. We've all been given one. And it is a regulator to let us know when we're doing right or wrong. 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 and 19 says this, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Listen, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. They violated their good conscience and they made shipwreck. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, I think that's when we're living right now, don't you? That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, here it is, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The conscience seared with a hot iron literally means this, numbed beyond feeling. Numbed beyond feeling. So here's a person, somebody came to mind right now, nobody here, somebody in another state that I know. Somebody came to mind right here who said to me, yeah, but the way I'm living, God doesn't seem to punish me for it, or he doesn't seem to be upset with me for it. And because he's not doing anything to stop me, it must be okay with him. But this person is clearly violating Bible principles. One example is living with someone that they're not married to. Another example is they're involved with smoking. Another one is they're involved with drugs. Another one, they're involved with all kinds of activities that are not biblical. But their response to me was, But God's not doing anything to me about it. I think he's okay with it. And therefore, I'm going to keep doing it. That tells me that their conscience has been seared, numbed beyond feeling. The conscience is given to us to guide us. It's a built-in mechanism that God gave us to help regulate our behavior. Certain thoughts and actions will automatically flare up that warning if you have a good conscience. Once your conscience is seared, of course, those same things will not flare up any reaction inside of you. When your conscience is seared, you get to the place where your conscience doesn't work anymore, doesn't bother you. You know, God wants us to have a good conscience. In other places in the Bible, a clean conscience is mentioned and a pure conscience is mentioned. God wants us to have a good conscience, a clean conscience, and a pure conscience. All three of those are mentioned in the scriptures. You can look those up on your own. But avoid things that are offensive to the conscience. Last thought, number 7. Avoid behavior that does not follow the example of Christ. Avoid behavior that does not follow the example of Christ. Most all of us probably at one time in our Christian life have found out or maybe even read for ourselves the little book that's dealing with basically what would Jesus do? You know, how would he handle that? Every now and then you'll see letters, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And people talk about that, and that's a good thing. But any behavior that Jesus would not be involved in is not some behavior that we should be involved in. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. He left us an example that we should follow his steps. Actually, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of the Gospels, as well as the vast majority of the New Testament, all of that is given to us to learn how Jesus lives and how he wants us to live and how he wants us to behave. His example, not some human's example, his example is our pattern for living. Not a human example, because every human, including this human right here that's preaching, is flawed. And every one of us will give a bad example sometimes. Jesus never does. He always gives a good example. Humans and their examples are not perfect, but our Savior's example is always perfect, and that's why he's the best example that we can follow. So here's the thoughts. Wrapping up today's message, Biblical Separation, Part 2. If you're going to please the Lord, if you're going to be honoring to him, if you're going to live a life of biblical separation and practice what the Bible says and be pleasing to the Lord, here's 7 things you should avoid. Number 1, avoid things that violate the Bible standard of purity. Number 2, avoid things that violate the clear teaching of the Bible. Number 3, avoid associations that will harm you. Number 4, avoid things that are harmful to the body. Number 5, avoid things that are harmful to a weaker brother. Number 6, avoid things that are offensive to the conscience. And number 7, avoid behavior that does not follow the example of Christ. Biblical separation. Something all of us should be practicing in our life. Not because I said so, but because that's what the Word of God teaches. Is it going to be hard sometimes? You better bet your bottom nickel. Sometimes it's going to be downright difficult. By the way, I'm being sincere. I am honest. I'm being honest about this. Sometimes it'll not be easy. I told you before, one of the hardest things I had to quit was to quit smoking. How many times I went forward in a service and prayed and asked God to forgive me and to help me with this. And Sarah's here again. She can vouch for all these things. I would get a carton of cigarettes, And I'd start smoking the first pack, and I'd get so upset with myself because I knew I shouldn't be doing that. And I'd take that pack, and I'd crumple it all up, and I'd throw it away. And I'd do the same thing with the rest of that carton of cigarettes. And then it wouldn't be long. I'd be digging through the garbage and see if I could find something big enough to smoke. I mean, what an idiot. But that's the struggle I was going through. And time after time, going forward and asking forgiveness and asking for help and pleading with God to give me victory over that. The day came, this is going to sound kind of severe to you, but the day came, I think I was driving in a car at the time, but anyway, I remember I was praying and talking to God about this, and I asked God, please, whatever it takes, help me to quit smoking. And as sincerely as I can possibly be with you, this is the honest truth. The next time I lit one up, I had a severe pain in my chest. And I took it as a sign from God. This is what you asked for. Now put it down. And not only took like maybe twice or three times feeling that pain in my chest, and I quit. That was way back in 1975. God gave me the victory over that. There's a lot of other things that he worked on me about after that visit from my mom and dad, but these are all basic biblical things that I'm speaking of, and those seven thoughts that I gave you today are just basic biblical things that I hope that all of us would try to practice in our life. You know, I'll say this and then I'll wrap this up with prayer and the invitation. We're living in a time period right now where a lot of Christianity is teaching that you can live any way you want and God's okay with it. But the Bible doesn't say that. So when I stand up for two Sundays and I talk about biblical separation, there's a whole lot of churches in America where you'd never hear a message like this. I promise. Too afraid of offending people. Too afraid of stepping on someone's toes. But if it's biblical, shouldn't it be talked about? Not that you have to harp on it every Sunday, but every once in a while, bring it up and talk about it. Why? Because this is what honors God and pleases Him. And that's why we should practice biblical separation in our life. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking. Dear Heavenly Father, not long before I started this sermon today, we heard a wonderful offertory based on the song, Bow the Knee. Boy, I was overcome just listening to that, thinking about my wonderful Savior and all He's done for me, thinking about Judgment Day and when we stand before You, kneel before You, maybe even on our faces before You. How can I not try in my lifetime to live a lifestyle? How can I not try to live a lifestyle that honors You and pleases You after all You've done for me? Dear Lord, help every one of us here this morning to remember the song we heard and what it's all about, and our Savior and how wonderful and great and majestic He is, all that He's done for us. That little bit of sacrifice that we have to do to put away certain things in our life, that's nothing compared to what Jesus has done for us. Please help us to live a life that honors You, Lord. Not because the pastor said so, but because the Bible says so. Bless the invitation now, please. Have Your will and way to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.